Certainly appreciate everyone that's come out tonight. Good crowd for a Sunday evening. I appreciate the confidence y'all put in me to come and hear me. It's humbling, and we just joking a little bit outside, and Brother Jeff mentioned that there's going to be a pretty decent crowd. I said they must have forgot who was preaching tonight. But I certainly do appreciate each and every one that's come out tonight. Love y'all. I do ask you to pray for me. Nervous. I'm nervous every time I try to stand, but it seems like it's a little different when you're at home. So I would desire an interest in your prayers. The Lord has laid something on my heart. Laid it on my heart actually a couple of weeks ago and been trying to study it out, and the things that's been going on, trying to study in between stuff. But anyway, I know I won't do it no justice, but just pray for me that I'll try to bring something out that might be a help to somebody. And we all must, what I have on my heart tonight is being obedient to God. We all must be obedient to God, to His calling, whatever that it might be. We've all got a job to do. My job is to carry the gospel, just as it is Brother Jeff's. Brother Larry's job is to be a deacon, him and Brother Bill and Brother Josh, and they're fine at it. But we all have jobs to do, and we have to listen and be obedient to what our job is. And nothing new tonight, very familiar stuff. I've got several places marked that I might read, but we're just going to try to do what the Lord would have us to do. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we all know about Abraham and Sarah and how they desired to have a son and for all this length of time. And finally, the Lord blessed them, and Sarah was able to bear a son, and they named him Isaac. And in the 22nd chapter, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave for wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou any thing unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, and it said to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And we'll stop there reading through the 15th verse there. And we all know the story here. It's not a story. I like to call things in the Bible happenings because I believe in all my heart that it truly happened. But we all know how that how much Abraham and Sarah, that they desired a son there. And after all these years, the scriptures say that they were old in age, that the Lord finally did bless them with a son, and they named him Isaac. And we find here that after the son was born and up a few years in age, that the Lord told Abraham to offer him up for an offering there. And you know, brothers and sisters, how hard it had to be for Abraham there to take his son that it took so many years for him to be blessed with and offer him up to the Lord for an offering. But listen, he was obedient to the Lord's call. And he took Isaac just as he was instructed, and he built the, laid him up there and laid the wood around him and had the knife in his hand. And I believe with all my heart, if the Lord hadn't called out to him, that he would have slain his son, because that's what the Lord had told him to do, and he was obedient to the Lord. Now listen, I want you to know tonight that the Lord might not put these bigger things on us to be obedient about. He might not have us to offer up our only child or our son for an offering. But listen, the Lord does give us things to do. He does talk to us, and he gives us things that he wants us to do. Brother Jeff mentioned this morning about following the Lord or following your heart. And listen, there is a difference there on this fleshly body and that inward soul. And when the Lord lays something on your heart to do, I believe tonight that it's important that we try the very best that we can to do what the Lord would have us to do. Now listen, it's just as important if he don't give us something. We can be stumbling blocks in that way. We can do more damage than good if we're not careful. But listen, I want you to know tonight that if the Lord has given you a job to do, you need to do it. The Lord called me to preach. I don't know that I've ever told the whole story here, but I'm going to tell it tonight. When he called me to preach, we'd been coming here for a little while, and didn't really think anything. It was just out of the blue. And we went to visit down at Willard, and their revival was going on. And we went down there to visit, and when service had ended down there, and we was on our way home. And during that service that night, it had come to our knowledge that our daughter Jessie was lost. And she had told us that night that she was lost, and she was upset in the car on the way home. And Amy asked her, said, just flat out asked her, "Jessie, honey, if you died tonight, what would happen?" And she said, "Mama, I'd go to hell." And my heart just shattered. I want you to know my heart just broke. And I don't know, and never would, maybe never will, why the Lord used that or if he did, but right about that time, I was trying to meditate and pray for her to be saved, for her to get it worked out, and coming up New Harmony Road in that old little blue Buick car that we was driving at the time, the Lord spoke to me just as plain if he'd been sitting where Amy was. He said, "You have to preach my word." But you know what? I was disobedient for 4 years. 4 years I run from that call. And lots of things happened in them 4 years, and I can't say it was because I wasn't being obedient to the Lord, but it very well could have been. But listen, when you have a calling of that magnitude, you can run from the Lord, but you'll never outrun him. I fought it and fought it for 4 years, and there wasn't a day went by, there wasn't a morning that I didn't get up. The first things I thought of was, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. The Lord's called me to do a job, and I'm laying down on him. And I'm sure that my family was suffering for it, and things were happening in my life that may have went a lot different if I'd heeded to his call a lot sooner. Was working at the time up here at Flex. Working second shift. I went to work one night, and the Lord had been on me and just on me and on me and on me. And I went to work that night. And I don't remember much about the work I was doing. I joke now and tell people I was probably building parts backwards and everything else. But me and the Lord was talking that night. And he had me convinced. Y'all may think this is strange, but you preaching brethren may know where I'm coming from. He had me convinced that night that if I didn't succumb to his call and do the job that he had called me out to do, that he was going to take me out. I'm sure you've all heard Brother Kyle before. When he owned his call, the Lord told him he was going to take his family away from him. Well, he told me a little different. He told me he was going to take me away from my family and leave them in a bad situation. Some of you know that at that time back in the years past, the children were younger and they were going through some hard things and some bad things. And if something would have happened to me, Amy wouldn't have had no control and they'd have been put into a bad situation. And years from that up until now, y'all see, you know that Amy needed somebody to be with her and to help take care of her. And where would she be now if I hadn't have done what I had to do? And I'm not patting myself on the back, not at all. But I'm telling you tonight that I tried to run from the Lord and I couldn't get away from him. And he let me know plainly what my consequences was going to be if I didn't heed to his warning. So that night there at Flex, I said, Lord, if you'll let me live to get this shift over with and get home, I'll tell my wife and then we'll go from her. So I went home. And I'll never forget it as long as I live, I don't believe. I walked through the back door into the kitchen, and she was there waiting for me in the kitchen. And as soon as I walked through the door, I hadn't even said a word. She said, what's wrong? I said, we got to talk. So we went down in the bedroom, sat there on the side of the bed. Kids were done asleep. And I told her, I said, the Lord's called me to preach. And I told her what had happened and when it happened. And she gave me the most sound advice that I've ever had since I've been trying to stand. I said, honey, what if I can't do it? She said, you can't do it. But that Sunday morning, I couldn't wait to get to church and get it off my chest, but then I dreaded it more than anything I've ever dreaded in my entire life. I don't believe I let Brother Laren get through a whole song, if I remember right, and I stood up and said, I got something I got to do. But listen, my point is I tried for 4 years to outrun that call, and the Lord wasn't going to have it. He wasn't going to let me outrun it. And during those 4 years, I would question him, and I would say, why me, Lord? I don't know the scriptures. I'm not good enough to be a preacher. I've got a past, and I've done things I'm ashamed of. But listen, I found out later in life that all that stuff don't matter. He called me to do a job. He chose me just as he chose Brother Jeff, Brother Barry, Brother TJ, all the preaching brethren. He chose. We're not to question his choosing or question his works and his ways. So I have to try to heed to his calling and stand behind this book board or whatever book board, wherever that I'm at, and try to bring forth his word. It's not always easy, but I've got to try to do it, and I'm weak at it and no good at it. But I want you to know that I have to try to do it. And listen, I have to do it the way the Lord gives it to me. Brother Jeff made mention this morning about his sermon and that some might have got upset. And I know how he feels. Listen, I know exactly how he feels. But listen, he has to do what the Lord would have him to do. We have to follow the Lord. I preached one time on the radio about preachers and preaching the whole counsel of God and how that now at times the way they are that you don't hear the old hellfire and brimstone preaching like you used to the lost and dying world. And I preached that way that morning. And listen, the Lord blessed me in a way out of that I'll never believe was a coincidence. I made mention of that old time preaching that was preached to me when I was lost and undone as a 13-year-old boy. And I made mention, and I never called a name. Not one time did I ever call a name. But I made mention of them old preachers, them old elders, that would stand up and preach that hellfire and brimstone, and how that it would pierce the hearts of the lost. And the Lord was in it. You could feel it in him. And how that it would let lost people know that they were separated and there was something wrong. And then I got through preaching and started making my way out the door there. And the young man, the DJ there, said, you had a phone call. And I said, a phone call? He said, yeah. I said, there was a lady called and wanted me to tell you that she really enjoyed your sermon and appreciated your stand. And I said, well, I said, do you know who it was? And she said, he said, yeah, her name was Betsy Ferguson. I come out of that radio station shouting. The revival I got saved in. Brother Ricky Holland was the pastor, and Elder Floyd Ferguson, which was that lady's husband, was the helper in that revival. And I never mentioned his name. But when I got through with my sermon, you know how the devil will work. He said, boy, you made a mess this time. And I truly believe that that was the Lord's way of telling me that I did okay. I did what he wanted me to. Because there's no way that that was a coincidence. I'll never believe it. That lady called up there and said that she wanted him to tell me that. And I don't know that she knew who I was or even remembered that night in 1986 when the Lord saved my soul down there at Enid. I know she was there, and I know her husband was the helper. And I heard the gospel from him. And let me tell you, he would preach it just like it was given to him. It didn't make no difference. It was hellfire and brimstone. If it was to the church, if it was to the lost, whatever, he preached it like it was given. And we have to continue to do that today. The whole counsel of God. The gospel, or the so-called gospel in a lot of these places, and I'm not trying to be ugly here, but you all know it's the truth. Some of these places that says they're churches and they're deceiving people and they're sugarcoating the word of God, and it's not to be sugarcoated. They need to learn to be obedient if they truly know the Lord. And if they're true God called preachers, then they have to be obedient to God and preach what he gives them. And we have to preach it just as I say it, just as how it's given to us. And we don't need to vary away from it and try to do things our own way. I'm not going to read all this. Brother Jeff preached on this not too awful long ago, and I remember it well. But we all know about Moses there and the children there in Egypt when they needed the water. And they went there once to the water, to the rock. And the Lord blessed them with the water. And he instructed Moses on how to do it. But then there was a second time there that they had a need for the water for themselves. They thirsted. And their cattle needed water. And the Lord instructed Moses to go to the rock there. And he instructed him to talk to the rock. And it would bring forth water. But Moses disobeyed the Lord. He smote the rock twice, the Bible says. And it still brought forth water. But listen, Moses had to pay a price for being disobedient to the Lord. He had to pay a price. His brother Aaron, I believe the scriptures say, wound up dying there. And they never got to lead the children, the congregation there out of that land. He was disobedient to God. God still provided the water. But Moses didn't do it the way God wanted it done. And he was disobedient. And listen, I want you to know, just as I said a minute ago, I believe in all my heart that if I stand and try to preach and I try to say something that the Lord don't give me, I'll pay for it. There was one night I hadn't been preaching long, and I had a thought on my heart that I was going to preach on, but I found out later on that thought was of me and it wasn't of the Lord, but I was ready to let her fly. I had an appointment at a Landmark down at Gallatin where Brother James was at the time. Listen, I went down there thinking, boy, I'm fixing to let these people have it. Listen, I got up and got ready, and when I opened my book, I couldn't have said mud. There wasn't no way in the world. And I realized what I had done. And I said, Lord, if there's going to be any preaching done here tonight, you're going to have to help me. I got humble, and I got humble quick. And listen, he come on the scene and I was able to preach. We can't question the Lord, and we can't think of ourselves big enough that we can do anything on our own, because we can't do nothing without the Lord and his help. I mentioned my running, and we think of Jonah and how the Lord called upon him to cry out to Nineveh, to the people there, and how he wanted them to cry out to them, for they had done wrong. And I don't know whether Jonah was scared of the people, of what the Lord had called him to do, or what he was afraid of, but he wasn't going to do it. He ran from it, just as I was talking about. And he wound up in the belly of that whale. for 3 days and three nights there, the scripture says. Listen, he tried to outrun the Lord. He tried to hide from what the Lord had called him out to do, and he found there that he couldn't do it. It says he was on the boat there, and the ones there around him, they knew something was wrong, and they knew it was someone on the boat that wasn't doing what they were supposed to do. And the scriptures tell us that they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah, and they knew there that it was him. And he finally was cast out of the boat into the water and swallowed up by that fish. He was trying his best to get away from God, to run from what he had been called out to do, and he couldn't do it. Even in that fish's belly, deep in that sea, in that water, the Lord knowed where he was at. He knowed he was being disobedient to him, and he knew what he had to do. And finally, Jonah realized what he had to do, and he went to praying out of that fish's belly, and he went to calling upon the Lord to help him. The scripture says that the fish vomited him out upon dry land. There is no running and hiding from the Lord. And I seem like I've been a lot on preaching here and the big things. But listen, I want you to know it don't have to be a big thing. The Lord can put something on your heart that's small. But you might think it's big, but he can put something on your heart that's small. But listen, it don't make no difference. If the Lord's giving it to you to do, it needs to be done. Fifth chapter of Matthew, and these are familiar too. The 13th verse says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith it shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Listen, tonight I believe in all my heart that the Lord wants us to show the world what he has done for us. Not that he's boastful, not that he's proud, but that it might glorify him, that we might be an example to others. And listen, I want you to know tonight, I believe we heard a sermon here a few weeks ago from Brother Randy Swaffer about uniting with the Lord's church. And I believe in all my heart that once you're saved, you are to unite with the Lord's church in baptism. Put your light upon that candlestick stick and show the world what the Lord has done for you. Amen. Never be ashamed of it. Never be shy or bashful about it. Listen, a lot of things in my life I've had to learn. Some of them I've had to learn the hard way. Being a member of the Lord's church to me now is an honor and a privilege. When I first started preaching, I guess I did it at first out of fear. And then after a little while, maybe I felt like it was out of obligation. And then I got to really studying and really thinking about it. And I had the thought one day, he chose me. He chose me. Out of anybody, all the very educated men and the studied people, he chose me. I don't know why and I may never, but he chose me. So now I try when I stand and try to preach his word, I do it because I'm honored and it's a blessing to be able to stand and preach the gospel. I don't do it like I should. I don't stay busy like I should. But listen, I've heard Brother Jeff say many, many times, if we make an effort, he'll bless it. If the Lord has laid something upon your heart, something you need to do, it might be something as simple as call and check on someone, unite with the church. If you've been called to preach, whatever that it might be, listen, you best be obedient to God Because you can run and you can run, but you'll never outrun him. And I want you to know tonight there's consequences. There's repercussions to be disobedient to God's word. He don't put nothing on us that he don't think we can handle. And we can't do anything without him. Just as I said a minute ago when I told Amy that night, I said, honey, what if I can't do it? And she said, you can't. And she was absolutely right. I can't do anything without the help of the Lord. I think we take that for granted sometimes, but I want you to know tonight, we can't get up out of the bed in the morning if the Lord's not helping us. We're supposed to fear the Lord. And you might say, well, God is love. It's a picture of love. And yes, absolutely it is. But there's supposed to be some fear there. There's supposed to be some knowledge of knowing who he is. Knowledge of knowing what he's capable of. And knowledge of that still small voice that you hear from time to time. Knowledge of knowing that he's called you out to do something, regardless of what it might be. Just as I said a minute ago, many times since I've been preaching that I've wrestled around with the Lord. Maybe you brethren have some too, I don't know. But I'd get a thought or maybe a subject if I had an appointment coming up or if I had to go to the radio or wherever, whatever it might be. And I'd get to wrestling with the Lord. And you know what? That was me. That was my deficiencies and my doubts. And I'd start questioning, was that really what you want, Lord? Is that really what you want me to do? But listen, we have to learn to have the knowledge to discern that voice, that small, still voice. We have to discern it. We have to listen to it. And we have to do it just as he gives it to us. We may not always understand it. We go through things that we don't understand. The Lord does things, and sometimes that we have trials and tribulations that we don't understand. But we still have to be obedient, even in those things. I don't mean to stand up here tonight and bring up no bad memories or nothing that's going to hurt somebody, but right after we lost Brother Heath, Brother Jeff preached a sermon on the third chapter of Proverbs. And it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them behind thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I think that's part of being obedient to him, is trusting him, acknowledging him. He made mention this morning about whatever that we had to do in life. Buy a car, buy a house, if you're fixing to bear a child, start a family. The Lord's got to be in it. For it to work the way it's supposed to work, the Lord needs to be in it. And we have to trust him with all thine heart. And we're not to question him. All the things that me and Amy's went through, you might say that I've took care of her. Listen, she's took care of me. She's been my rock. There's been many times down there at Sumner Regional. She'd be in that old hospital room down there Saturday evening, roll around. I'd be down there with her and be getting prepared to stay the night. And she'd say, when you going home? Well, honey, I'm going to stay here with you. No, you ain't. You got church tomorrow. I can't go, but you can. Bless her heart, she was trying, as far as I'm concerned, to be obedient. I failed. and I fail today. I'll fail tomorrow. Truth be known, probably before we get out of here tonight, I'll fail in some way about being obedient to the Lord. But listen, we need to have a desire. We need to have a zeal about us. And we need to have a love one for another. Most of all, a love for the Lord, that we be honored to be obedient to Him. Regardless of what it is that He might give us to do. Paul said over in the Philippian letter, do all things without murmurings. How many times do we have something to do, even if it's of the Lord, and we want to murmur about it? We want to question it. Just as I told you a while ago, I question sometimes the Lord. When He gives me a thought, or when He has something for me to do, I might question it. We're not to be that way. We're just to pray. If He gives us something to do, then we're to get down and say, okay, Lord, help me. Help me do what You want me to do. And listen, I promise You He will put forth an effort and He'll bless it. So no matter what it might be. And I told Brother Jeff outside, this may be to me more than anybody else, just like Brother Barry was at Antioch here the other night. It may be to me just as much as it was to anybody else. But listen, whatever that it might be, if the Lord's put something on your heart, if you hear that still small voice, if He's putting something on you to do and you know it's of the Lord, don't sit down on Him. Don't miss out on a blessing. Don't risk hurting somebody else. Do what the Lord would have you to do. If it's of the Lord, truly of the Lord, and you do what He'd have you to do, it'll work. It'll work. I believe that's what the Lord's given me, and I hope and pray. Hope and pray that He's pleased with it most of all, and that somebody's got something out of it. Brother Jeff, I'll turn it back over to you.